G'day team, hope this finds you well. Welcome to another installment of the You Project. Recently, I did a Facebook Live because I can. A few people were struggling and I was getting lots of messages and emails. So we did a little bit of a kind of an impromptu spur of the moment, short notice thingy, just sharing the love and a few ideas and a bit of support. And it went well. We had lots of people on and got some nice feedback. And there's a few good thoughts and ideas and stories and strategies kind of thrown in here. So, of course, this that I'm introing is that. So this is the audio version of our Facebook Live. It's a bit clunky in bits because obviously it was recorded as a video and there was a bit of interaction. So excuse my occasional reading of comments that are coming down the pipeline and the odd distraction, but Melissa and I wax and waned. Hello, Melissa.
Hello.
We did wax and wane as to whether or not we would share this, but I actually think it's quite valuable. For those of you who have been following me for a long time, one, thanks. Two, there's probably a bit of repetition in this, but repetition, if it's relevant, is always good. Bit of familiarity, bit of reinforcement. So without any further ado, have a listen. Hope you enjoy. If you don't, just turn it off. It's that easy. That's the beauty. And I'll see you tomorrow. Love you guts. So I've been talking with and interacting with either via messenger or email or on the phone a lot of people who are struggling, understandably. So I don't want to bang on about all the negative stuff, but it's a tough time. So I want to share some thoughts and ideas and feel free to interrupt. I don't really have a set plan. And also because there's no visual feedback or auditory feedback. And my experience right now is that I'm sitting in a studio by myself doing a monologue. So keep those messages coming through because it makes me feel connected. Thank you, Naomi, Maggie, Joe, John Cooper, hello, hello, champion, Allison from Sydney, Michelle, Laura, it's a pleasure. Lots of you are saying nice things. So maybe some of you might want to grab a pen and paper. I'm going to share some thoughts and ideas. It's not my intention to do a workshop, but I thought maybe I could share some thoughts and ideas and maybe a few questions. So I'm going to bang on. If you've got any specific questions, I don't really want to do COVID questions or political questions. I don't want to do that. That's not my thing. We've got enough people talking about Dan Andrews and we've got enough people talking about the government this and I get it and I understand all of those. I'm more about humans. I'm more about psychology. I'm more about human behavior. I'm more about how we think. I'm more about the stuff that's in our control. I'm more about us managing us. So I want to talk a little bit about how do we manage ourselves? How do I manage me? How do you manage you? So part of that is, you know, self-awareness and an awareness of that is what is beyond the self. So what's in my control? So every day I do a version of this. I get up. And it might not be this systematic or methodical, but on a level, I'm always asking myself what's in my control and what's not. What's in my control and what's not? What's not in my control is what the government will do today. Now, that doesn't mean I don't care. That doesn't mean I give up. But in terms of what is the best use of my time and energy and resources and ability, what's the best use of what I have, the best use today, it's not me jumping online and bitching about things that I can't control. I understand the bitching, I understand the resentment, I understand all of it, and we all need to make our own choices about what we do with what we've been given. Vincent, alcohol, thanks for joining us, Vin. It's my best mate on the call, Vincent Heaton Harris, from the thriving metropolis of Mafra. His solution is alcohol. Probably not the worst solution sometimes, as long as we have a cap. But every day I get up and I ask myself this question. You might want to write it down if you're a note taker or you can replay it later and write it down. But the question is essentially this. In terms of what I want to do, be, create and change today, in terms of what I want to do, be, create and change today, what's the best use of my time? What's the best use of my time? What's the best use of my energy? What's the best use of my resources? There's some silly comments coming through. How do I manage me in the middle of the mayhem? What's in my control and what's not? And so what I see right now, which is also understandable, is a lot of people investing a huge amount of energy, physical, mental, emotional energy in things that they can't change. Now, don't confuse this with you shouldn't care. Of course you should care. We should all care. We should all be aware. We should all be informed. And we're not pretending that bad things don't happen. We're not pretending that it's fun. It's definitely not fun. We're all in the middle, or a lot of us are in the middle of a shitstorm. A lot of us are in the middle of the mayhem. A lot of us are dealing with crap that we don't want to, that we definitely don't deserve, that we don't warrant, that perhaps shouldn't be happening, but nonetheless it's happening. And so in the middle of all of that, I'm asking people and I'm asking myself, okay, today, what can I do? What can I do for my mind? What can I do for my body? What's one thing I can do? What's one thing I can do to help myself or help someone else? What's one thing I can do with my food or my lifestyle or my behaviors or my exercise or my mental or my emotional health? What's one thing that I can do? And when we tend to try to manage our mind and we become aware of our mind in the middle of the mayhem, remember, metacognition is thinking about thinking. Metacognition is thinking about thinking. That is, I am now starting to become aware of my stories. I'm now starting to become aware of my mind. I'm now starting to become aware of the data processing center that lives in between my ears that interprets the world around me. So those of you who follow me have heard me talk about this thing called the duality of the human experience. Do you think I need a haircut, Glenn? The duality of the human experience is this. There's two worlds that we interact with, and this is a fundamental version of this, but there's the external world. So there's our physical three-dimensional external world where things happen: people, situations, circumstance, environment, government, COVID, weather, traffic lights, bills, job, career, education. There's the external world where everything happens. So now my external world right now is this room, is this temperature, is the light shining in my eyes, is this computer, is all the stimulus that's coming to me, all the messages, g'day Nick Hall, all of the messages that are coming to me, that's all of my external world. All of those things, we call them stimuli. That's kind of inbound data. COVID, government, TV, 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news, all the shit that bombards our psyche, that pervades our consciousness and our awareness, all that inbound stuff. Now, on the other side is our internal world. And our internal world is where we do our living. It's where we do most of our living. Life happens in that physical, three-dimensional, external plane where stuff happens and we kind of do things. But where most of us live is in our self-created internal experiences, thoughts, feelings, ideas, emotions, goals, intentions, love, pain, joy, hope, happiness, hopelessness, all of that kind of internal, those internal feelings and ideas and stories. And the interesting thing is that it's the internal stuff that has the biggest impact on us, especially us living in first world countries. So I'm being general here and I'm saying this right now doesn't apply, for example, to people living in Afghanistan right now. God bless them. Right? That's a shit fest. That's a nightmare. But for those of us living in Australia and first world countries where, yep, we're still doing it hard, we've still got challenges and problems, totally acknowledge that. But for many of us, we control what we can control in our physical world. We manage what we can. We do what we can in our external world with money and job, and we survive. We do the best we can. We make good decisions. We execute good behaviors. But in the middle of all of that is this data processing center that's always creating stories and telling stories and interpreting things. And what's pertinent to remember is that your mind is the processing center, the data processing center for your external world. And all of that inbound information, all of those external things that happen around us and to us because of us, in spite of us, all of those things mean nothing, nothing at all, until, for us personally, until we give them meaning. So think about this. When something happens, whatever that thing is, something happens, someone says something to you, for example, and then you take that at great affront and you say that that person's toxic and that was horrible and they're trying to hurt you, and they may or may not be. Let's say for this story, they're not. They just said something. But you tell yourself a story about those words, and in this hypothetical, they're not trying to hurt you. They just said something they maybe didn't realize. But you respond in a way where now you think about this for an hour. You think about this for 2 or 3 hours, and now your heart rate's up and your hormones are on fire. Your endocrine system's producing stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, and your sympathetic nervous system's lit up. And now you're in this stress state, and now you're angry, and now your physiology's changed because you told yourself a story about something that happened. Somebody else goes through the same practical experience. They tell themselves a different story, and their response and their personal experience is totally different. Now, this is not a criticism. This is just thinking about thinking. This is the point where we start to differentiate between what's happening around me and then what's happening within me. What's happening within me? And so what's happening within me is optional. It's optional. It's not easy, by the way. Managing my mind is not easy, but it's possible. When I start to think about my thinking, when I start to question my stories, when I start to become aware of my attitude, when in a self-awareness, not a self-loathing way, but in a positive, constructive way, is this real or is this a story that I'm telling myself? In the middle of this less than desirable situation, circumstance, environment, in the middle of this thing that I don't want to be happening, but is happening, how do I optimize me? How do I manage my mind optimally, my body optimally, my emotions optimally? What's the best decision? What's the best reaction? What's the best question I can ask today? What's the best question in this moment? So we know that when we ask better questions, we tend to make better decisions. When we make better decisions, we tend to do better things, embrace better behaviors, create better outcomes, and then shift our reality. And sometimes the things that we need to do are not the things that we want to do. Sometimes, especially at right now, you know, like there's so much shit going on, and it breaks my heart, but at the same time, my broken heart about someone who's broken doesn't fix them, right? I'm some people think I'm blunt, and maybe I'm blunt, but I'm blunt, I'm direct, because I actually want people who listen to me and read me to become personally empowered. I don't want them to put me on a pedestal. I want them to put themselves on a pedestal and realize that they, that you listening to this, that you are the answer. And I get frustrated with people where I can see ability and potential and possibilities in them that they are not tapping into. And I see people that go around and around with the same issues and the same conversations and the same inner dialogue, and I understand it, and there's empathy, and I love them. But the only person who's going to fix you is you. The only person who's going to ultimately care forever, all the time, about you is you. And it doesn't mean that we can't have love and support. It doesn't mean that, you know, that I'm going anywhere. I want to cheer people on. I want to cheer people on. I want to support people. I want to empower people to their best choices and behaviors and outcomes and life and physiology and health state. That's what I want to do. I feel like that's my calling. But what I can't do is I can't do the work for anyone. I can't do the work for anyone. all of us ultimately, no matter what we hear, what we read, how stimulated, how inspired, how well-equipped, how resourced, how educated, how intelligent we are, no matter about all that theoretical or potential stuff, ultimately what matters with creating better, with learning, growing, evolving, adapting, changing, succeeding, ultimately what matters is the work. It's the work. And I know that a lot of you guys are hurting. I know that it's painful. I know that it sucks. And truly, you have my sympathy and my love. And sometimes we need a hug, a cyber hug or a real hug. I get it. But I also, in the moment, I want to give you some support and love, but also beyond the moment, I feel like it's my responsibility to help people to realize how amazing they are. You know, I'm the thing that I'm almost the most excited about humans is how much potential we have. And the thing that I talk the most about maybe is how our thinking and our shit self-esteem and our overthinking and our self-doubt and our self-sabotage and our programming gets in the way of our potential. If you're an overthinker, welcome to the club. If you're scared of every second thing, welcome to the club. Me too. If you're full of self-doubt and the occasional self-loathing, welcome to the club. There's nobody who's a bigger critic of me than me. And I have quite a few critics. I have quite a few. And I often write back and go, I agree with you. I am a dickhead. But it's okay. You know, we're all flawed and we're all a bit scared. And we're all trying to figure life out. We're all trying to figure out what is this about. We're all trying to figure out what's my meaning? What's my purpose? How do I grow? Where does happiness live? You know, we're different, but on a level, we're all the same. We're all the same. We all want to be loved, needed, valued. We all want to be safe. We all want connection. We all want to know that things will be all right. And you know, again, here we go, the velvet sledgehammer. But guess what? Things aren't always going to be all right. Things aren't going to always be all right. That's not particularly inspiring or uplifting, but it's particularly true. But guess what? In the middle of the messiness, you'll be all right if you are well equipped physically, mentally, and emotionally to deal with the shit. Because the shit's coming. The shit's here. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of it. And it's not about changing what's going on. Although if that was possible, we'd do it now. I guess as a society, as a culture, as a collective, we're trying to change what's going on. I get that. But I'm talking to you, the individual, just you, the person. It's not so much about trying to change. It's like, I fully admit we've got 240 people now listening, tuned in. I can't change anyone. I can't change one person except me. All I can do is share thoughts and ideas and stories and encouragement and love and passion. That's all I can do. And then you are either going to go do something with what you hear, make a decision, take a chance, get uncomfortable, go where you grow, or you're not. And either way, that's okay. And if you succeed, it's not because of me, it's because of you. And if you don't, it's not because of me, it's because of you. Ultimately, you know, we have to be the stewards of our own destiny, the authors of our own stories. And yes, we want love and encouragement and support and resources, and all of those things are good. But we don't want to be dependent on a cheer squad. We don't want to be dependent on the round of applause or the fan club. We don't want that. When people are supportive and awesome, and I try to do that for as many people as possible. But I also want, when the shit comes, and it comes, I want people to be okay in the middle of it. Because everyone's a champion when the sun's shining and the birds are singing and the bees are buzzing and it's 22 degrees and everyone's a champion then. But what really matters is not how great our life is, but how great we are with dealing with the messiness of life, because this is the ongoing human challenge. And it never really stops. It never really stops. So we need to acknowledge the problems. We're not pretending there aren't problems. There are lots right now. There's lots of messiness. There's lots of pain. There's lots of suffering. There's lots of unfairness. So acknowledge it. We acknowledge it, but we don't go down that emotional rabbit hole for 2 days of hate and vengeance and spite and anger. We can if you want, but it's not a great investment of you. So acknowledge the problem, but we all be all about the solution. Yes, this is crap. Okay, but what can I do? Not to change that, but what can I do to manage me today? Can I go for a walk? Can I send someone some love? Can I eat better? Can I do a treasure hunt on my life? Can I find an attitude of gratitude and write down 6 things that are awesome about my life? You know what's awesome about my life? I get to do this. You know what's awesome about my life? I live in Australia. You know what's awesome about my life? People care about me. You know what's awesome about my life? I'm healthy. You know what's awesome about my life? My parents are 81 and 82 years old and he touches the wooden table. They're healthy. I'm so glad. There's so much awesomeness in my life. I have nothing but gratitude. And we get to choose whether or not we're grateful. We get to choose what attitude we have. And is it easy? No. Growth is not easy. Development is not easy. Building resilience is not easy. But we don't grow when we're constantly taking the easy option. And you know, as horrible as this is right now, as crap as this is right now, and I get it. As much as I can, not being you, get it? I get it. Last night I watched that little baby being pulled up. Oh, makes me sad now. That little baby being pulled up by that soldier. And it just made me cry. And I had these mixed emotions. The emotions were just so much love and compassion for those people and simultaneously so much gratitude that I live in such privilege. That I live in such privilege. You know, like we get to choose our reality. We might not always get to choose our situation, circumstance, environment, or what's going on there. But in terms of our reality, if I'm focusing on doom and gloom and I'm looking for problems and that's my focus is toxic and negative, guess what experience I'm going to have? And not only in my mind, but also in my emotions and also in my body. And again, we're not pretending that everything's roses. No, we're fully cognizant of the shit. I know there's crap going on. I've got friends right now, good friends who are struggling. I've spoken to 3 people this week who are suicidal. I'm not pretending that things are great. Things are not great. But those things right now, I can't change. You can't change. But what we can change and manage is us. I want to go through a couple of things, and if you've got any questions, I don't even know how this is going across. I'm literally sitting in my studio doing a monologue. Could be shit. If it's shit, I apologize. Go and watch the news. Hopefully it's resonating with some of you. And hopefully it's of some value. So I think it's really important that In this time that we are paying attention to what we're paying attention to and who we're paying attention to are crucial. So I remember a few nights ago, thank you everyone, not shit. See, that's the ultimate compliment. I want to see that on one of my podcast reviews, not shit. I was watching the news a couple of nights ago, and I'm not saying don't watch the news, but I probably watched it. I don't watch much television, and it just opened, you know, I want to know the basics. I want to know what's going on. But beyond that, I want to feed my brain, my mind, positivity, not delusion, positivity, because for me as a coach, so firstly, I work full-time coaching, mentoring, working with teams and companies. I do 7 podcasts a week. I'm doing a full-time PhD. I'm studying full-time. I'm working full-time. I'm helping people in my work. I'm helping people out of my work. I'm helping people whose lives are falling apart. And not because I'm brilliant. I'm definitely not brilliant, but just because I think that's what I'm meant to be doing. So that's what I do. But in the middle of that, I need to make sure that I am looking after me. I need to make sure that I am self-managing my mind, my emotions, my body, that I am eating well, that I'm sleeping well, that I am also feeding my mind good things, that I'm having, as well as the hard conversations, I'm also having uplifting conversations, as well as listening to the nastiness that's going on around us on the news, which is important, of course, that I'm also listening to or reading or exposing my mind to things which nourish my mind, nourish my soul, nourish my emotional system. Walking around all day, every day, focusing on the terror and the drama is not good for anyone. It certainly doesn't solve any problems. And again, we're not pretending, What we're doing is we're just trying to self-manage. Any questions? If you've got any questions, and yes, I realize everyone is hurting, but you know, we do what we can. And I know, see, here's the thing, even with this, I know that this will resonate with some and not with others. I also have no agenda with this. I have no program to sell, no book to sell, no workshop. I don't want to direct you anywhere. I'm not doing this because there's something in it for me. But I also know if it was only about my ego, I probably wouldn't do it. Because there's probably as much risk as anything. But I feel like I've had a few conversations lately with people who are just distraught and devastated. And as I said in the promo for this, I know I can't fix anything or change anyone, but I'll do my best. Would you suggest that sharing our opinion? That's the problem. There's two. They're going through quick. Hi, Marie. I hope you're well. Craig, this is so positive, and thank you. Hurry up. The news is on soon. Thank you for doing this. You're right. You're welcome. So what do I think? I think that, and this is no revelation, and of course I'm going to say this, but we still don't do it, that managing your body is a really good start. Because when we don't manage our body, when we don't manage, you know, and I'm not talking about being ripped and jacked and rock hard. I'm talking about healthy. I'm talking about well slept. I'm talking about not being in a constant elevated, vigilant state of anxiety and stress. Hi, Lauren, and hi, Stella. But being able to, for me and for the people that I've worked with, I've trained tens of thousands of people over the years, I know this. When I am physically in a better place, my nutrition is on point, I'm moving my body. We're not talking about going to the gym necessarily. We're not talking about abs at 6% body fat, having big arms, running a marathon. I'm just looking after my body. I'm moving my body. I'm walking 10,000 steps a day. I'm doing some strength work. I'm sleeping well. I'm hydrating my body. I'm literally nourishing my body on all levels. When I do that, that is a great platform for everything else. And it doesn't mean we wait for that to be right and then we worry about the mind or then we manage the mind. We can do it all together. But what I know is that when a body is unhealthy, when a body is exhausted, when a body is in an inflamed state because of stress and anxiety, because stress and anxiety creates an inflammatory response, which creates lots of issues over the long term. But when my body is in a good place, it sets me up for my mind and my emotions to be in a better place, when I'm well slept, when I'm healthier, when my immune system is stronger, when my resting heart rate is low, when my blood pressure is lower, when my body is getting great food and my brain is getting great food and I am well hydrated, when all of those things are happening, then my mind works better. And for me personally, my creativity, my memory, my ability to focus and concentrate and to do things like this on a Saturday night at 57, you know, where my, thank you, Kim, for, you know, for me, it's, I had to figure out a long time ago that I needed to create an ideal operating system for me. And by an ideal operating system, mind, body, emotion, spirit, social, financial, practical, professional, all of those things. And so realize that when you are trying to create the new and improved version of you, whatever that means, and I'm just talking about healthier mind, healthier body, healthier emotions, and maybe on a more practical level with other things. But remember that there is no three-step plan. There's no arbitrary, this is how you get lean, this is how you eat, this is how you reduce stress, this is how you grieve. Everyone, this is how you have a healthy relationship. You need to figure out how all of that stuff is going to work for you, because there's no best exercise program, for example. There's no best one, but there's a best one for you. But there's no broad, generic, best exercise program that works optimally for everyone, or probably optimally even for two different individuals. So too with diet, so too with how we manage on an emotional level, so too how we socialize. I've lived by myself since I was 17 years old, and I live completely alone. I've had nobody, virtually nobody in my house for a year and a half. And I'm okay. But I'm okay because of my background and my training and who I am and how I am. And I'm kind of practically, emotionally, and psychologically prepared for this. I don't know if that's an advantage or not, but I would definitely not recommend most people live like I live, right? I would also not recommend that most people eat how I eat, because depending on your frame of reference, it could be somewhere between disciplined and crazy, right? I get that too. I've never been drunk. I've never been high. I've never done drugs. I've never had a glass of alcohol. I've never boozed. I've never, you know, I wouldn't suggest that for other people either. What I'm suggesting is that we all need to find our true north. We all need to tune into that thing that I call our internal sat nav, that divine or wherever it comes from, that knowing, that innate wisdom, that intuitive kind of intelligence that lives in all of us. And for someone doing a PhD in science, this sounds really wah-wah and woo-woo, doesn't it? And I can't explain it, but I don't care. I don't care that I can't explain it, because I know that there is a level of knowing and wisdom and insight that exists in me and you that is inexplicable. Now, just because I can't explain it doesn't mean it's not real. Doesn't mean it's not real. So trust yourself. Trust that internal wisdom away from the overthinking, self-loathing mind. Get past the chaos and into that other space, where there's the calm. We call being the calm in the chaos, we call that equanimity. Equanimity is you being the calm in the chaos. And it's interesting when I talk to people about success. You know, when we talk about success, and I'll wind up in a minute, and I'll let you all go and do what you got to do. We talk about success. And, you know, for most people, success is, and again, there's nothing wrong with this, but what we typically think of in our culture is things, stuff, success. Wow, she's got a successful life. He's got a successful life. And when we talk about that, quite often we're talking about situation, circumstance, environment, job, income, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, having an awesome job, driving a Lamborghini, living in a mansion, looking at the ocean. None of those things are bad. But none of those things guarantee happiness. None of those things guarantee the absence of anxiety. None of those things guarantee the absence of depression or emotional or psychological issues. And that's where we come back to the two worlds, the external and the internal. And if our external world looks like a Disney movie, that's great. But if the internal world is an emotional, psychological, and spiritual mess, then our overall experience is not one of success, but rather pain. And so what's going on around me matters. Of course it matters. It influences who I am and how I am. Of course it matters. And of course I care. But sometimes we need to shift our focus from the external to the internal and say, what's my internal sat-nav telling me? What's that still small voice telling me? And when I can step away, and here's one of the hardest things to do, and I can't tell you how to do it, especially not in a few minutes, but I can open the door to stimulate a thought, is when we can start to step away from our programming. Our programming. We've all been trained and taught and told and programmed to think a certain way, believe a certain way, process the world around us in a certain way, how to behave, how to have relationships, how to do religion or faith, or how to eat or not eat, or how to. We've been programmed. And programming's not bad, it's just programming. But some of us have been programmed that we're not good enough, or we're not smart enough, or we're not talented enough, or we're not attractive enough, or we're. And that lives in us. And that's, you know, it takes bravery and courage and resilience to be able to go, maybe that's bullshit. And that's not about ego. It's about awareness. It's about maybe I could be creative. Maybe I could write a book. Maybe I could run a marathon. Maybe I'm not broken. Maybe I'm okay. And I think you're all okay. I think you're all okay. So thank you for jumping on, and thank you for spending 40 odd minutes with me. If you don't listen to the podcast, jump on, it's free. The You Project, it's lots of good stuff on there. If you don't follow me on Instagram, follow me on there at Whiteboard Lessons. Again, all free. My website is craigharper.net. Lots of stuff, lots of free stuff to see on there. But I appreciate you giving me some of your time, and I appreciate you hanging out with me. And I want to send you all love and light, and encourage you to get out of your own way. I want to encourage you to, as Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in your world, you know. And I want to tell you that you're better than you think you are. You know, and even when you think nobody cares, somebody cares. And even though I've not met most of you, as much as I can care and be genuine about that, I care, which is why I'm here now. Anyway, love your guts, everyone. I'm going to end, so you be good. Take care, and maybe we'll do it again. Let me know if you enjoyed it.